The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, we mentioned we have great basketball coming your way tonight. We also have two more Game 3s tomorrow on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. You got Embiid and the Sixers taking on the Wizards at 7 Eastern, then Ja and the Grizzlies hosting Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz. The Countdown Crew will start our coverage 6 o'clock Eastern. That's tomorrow right here on ESPN, where we are very busy on a Friday morning. Another big hour of Get Up coming your way right now. As always, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We are jam-packed with football and basketball and more. Let's get right to it. Time to get up with the King back on his court and starting to look very comfortable. Can anything stop the Lakers from running through the West? Meanwhile, his team on the field, his celebrity life on the gram. We'll tell you exactly what message Aaron Rodgers is sending right now. And then the tag team of Trevor and Tebow. Is it absolute genius or is it the worst move any team has made this entire year? We've got answers to all those questions as we get up in this hour on ESPN, starting with this. Game 3, Lakers-Suns. First home playoff game at Staples for the Lakers since 2013. Remember, it was a bubble last year. Chris Paul, meanwhile, banged up. Still issues with the shoulder. He would play 27 minutes. But then look at the Lakers owning the paint. That's first quarter. Kuzma throwing it up for Anthony Davis. Under 3 minutes left now. Watch AD playing defense in transition. Up, and he gets the block, but hold on. Watch as he comes down. Scary moment here. Don't like the way he's grabbing the back of that leg. He would stay in the game. Lakers by 3 at the half. And then they would take over the third quarter. And by they, I mean LeBron and AD. Here we go, turning defense into offense. Throwing it up. AD throwing it down. Lakers by double digits for the first time all game. And they were just getting started. It's a 10-point lead. LeBron using the screen. LeBron throwing it down. He had 21 points, 9 assists. 10 of those points came in the third. AD did a much better. Here we go with the skyhook. He had 18 in the third. LeBron and AD combined for 28 points in that third quarter. Fourth quarter now is a 19-point lead. There's LeBron getting loose. Anthony Davis would finish with 34, and the Lakers with a statement win in the second half. 109-95. They take a 2-1 series lead. Again, behind those two, Anthony Davis and LeBron James combining for 28 in the third, 5 more than the entire Suns team, their most in any quarter as teammates, including the regular season. And we need to take a closer look at this, and we do it with P.J. Carlesimo. Gets up with us early today. Thank you, Coach. When you watch those two guys play like that, what did you see last night, and what does it mean for the Lakers over these next 2 months?
Well, I think they sent a message, Greeny, in that third quarter. I mean, it's a 43-40 game at the half, and, you know, it looks like Phoenix is hanging in. And if you watch, they came out in the third quarter and immediately just took the ball to the basket. First play of the third quarter, LeBron goes with a dunk. And if you watch all these points, those 28 points, so many of them, there's a short jump shot in the paint right there for him. He finds AD, another dunk. We already saw this one clip, a little lob pass there from Schroeder. They just took it to the basket. But this is what concerned me, I think, more than anything. You watch that CP3 shot right there. He's just not right, Greeny. There's no way I can see Phoenix really hanging in this series with Chris Paul playing the way he's playing right now. Lakers not shooting it well from three, 27% as a team. Bron's shooting it well. They just said at halftime, hey, we're going to shoot the ball in the paint. They had 26 points in the paint in the first half. They had 26 points in the paint in the third quarter. Everything happened in that purple paint right there, and Phoenix had no answer for them whatsoever. And you also saw Phoenix get a little rattled. They played like a young team with CP on the bench there. You had a flagrant foul. You had an ejection. I'm sure Monty Williams was disappointed with the way his team handled their first road playoff game in a long time in Phoenix.
And so the Lakers taking control of that series. All right, PJ, I want to turn our attention to tonight's games. We have three great ones that will all be on either ESPN or ABC. And let's give me the one thing to watch for most. So we got Brooklyn taking on the Celtics tonight. Let's start with that one. What is the one most important thing you're watching for?
Well, Kemba's status, health report right away. Kemba and Jason Tatum have struggled. They need Kemba Walker to play well. Is Boston going to respond? And let's see Brooklyn on the road for a change, Greeny. They were dominant. They held the Celtics under 40% at home. Is it going to translate to the road? First road game for the big three. I want to see them play on the road. But more importantly, what is Boston going to bring to the table?
That one's on ABC tonight. The early game on ESPN is Knicks-Hawks. These teams are so evenly matched. What are you watching for tonight?
Well, whether the Knicks can do what Atlanta did, win on the road, it's going to be interesting because that crowd is going to be jumping in Atlanta. I want to see if it's going to translate. The defense in the second half was spectacular. That man right there, Derrick Rose, has been the difference, I thought, in game two. But I want to see New York go and win on the road the same way Atlanta did in Madison Square Garden.
All right, and then the late game tonight is Clippers-Mavericks in Dallas. Clippers' season sort of realistically on the line. What are you looking for?
Very much so on the line. Some defense from the Clippers. They've had no answer whatsoever. It looks like Dallas has been able to get whatever they want. That poor starts with Luka. PG struggled early, but then he got it going. He and Kawhi have played okay, but okay's not going to get it done in Dallas. Somehow they got to slow Luka Doncic down. You're not going to take everything away from him, but you can't allow him to score big points and get big assists also. Try and take away one or the other, but the Clippers are backed into a corner. Are they going to respond?
Should be a great night of hoops tonight. We'll be watching and looking forward to it. Thank you, PJ. Thanks for getting up. It's always great to see you here. Have a wonderful weekend. In the meantime, you know who's having a wonderful time? It's Aaron Rodgers. He and the Packers remain, of course, at an impasse, and there is no obvious end in sight to that. Rodgers has been a no-show at OTAs, and in addition to a number of his weapons, he's the reigning league MVP. He has 3 years remaining on his contract with the team. And then through the course of this week, he has been showing all these pictures on social media, a person who has been notoriously private throughout most of his very public life. And again, Ryan Clark, I'll start with you on this thought, because I'm always interested in your perspective on this. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has been involved with very famous women in the past, right? I mean, Danica Patrick and Olivia Munn. And we never saw anything of their private life. And now all of a sudden, he's in this situation. The team is on the field, and we're seeing him running amok in a bathing suit in Hawaii. Do you, Ryan Clark, believe that is a coincidence?
Absolutely not. What is, I did it on purpose for 500, Aaron? Absolutely. Listen, Aaron Rodgers wanted to make sure that we saw these things. And at the least, someone as intelligent, as calculated, as smart, as petty as Aaron Rodgers is, would at least have to say, you know what, it's okay to post these. That when even though I'm not at OTAs, the Green Bay Packers are having to talk about me every day. We're on Get Up having the Aaron Rodgers watch. It's okay to post these and show that I'm having a good time. It's okay to post these and show that I'm not concerned about the Green Bay Packers. That football isn't the number one thing on my mind at the moment. And Aaron Rodgers understands what this looks like. He understands that people from the outside who have a perception of him of being the bad guy in this case are going to continue to believe that. But if I'm the Green Bay Packers, and not only is Aaron Rodgers not there, but the wide receivers aren't there, and then when I see Aaron Rodgers, he's out already practicing lines for his first script in a major blockbuster film that will be shot in Hawaii, it makes me think Aaron Rodgers may be winning right now.
Yeah, so bear in mind, and this is a week, Bart Scott, that began with Aaron Rodgers appearing on SportsCenter. Now, he was doing that out of respect and his friendship with Kenny Mayne. But one thing or another, right. he said a lot of stuff on that show, stuff he didn't have to say, and he did. And now we're seeing all of these images of him. What do you think of the messages that are being sent here, Bart?
Well, I think it's passive aggressive, right? He's not saying anything, but he's telling you everything with his actions. He's telling you that he's unbothered. He's telling you that he has options. And unlike Ryan Clark, I think his body doesn't look that bad. I think the only guy that may be able to mess with him on TV is Pat Sajak, because he looks like he's on a vegan-based diet right now, but it's all good, though. You know, Aaron Rodgers understands that he doesn't have to be at training camp right now, that he can live his best life, and he's going to understand that he has to play this thing out. Somebody has to be the villain in these situations, and he doesn't mind being the villain. He's saying, hey, you guys, are not running an organization the way that I need to be for it to be ran. I want to empower myself and embolden myself. So listen, until you guys figure it out, I'm just going out here and I'm going to have some fun, play my guitar, sing to my hot girlfriend and make everybody envious of my life.
So, Dan Graziano, let's kind of work through this here. You've got the Packers organization, okay. And they're approaching this as they tend to do. They're a buttoned-up group, and they're going to do things their way. And you got Rodgers doing things his way. So where does it stand? And I guess more to the point, where does it reach a pressure point? Where is the point at which this thing has to have some sort of collision?
That depends on which side's resolve is greater. So if Aaron Rodgers wants to sit out mandatory minicamp in June, they can fine him upwards of $90,000, which it won't bother him. He's already kissed off a $500,000 workout bonus by missing the OTAs. If he wants to sit out training camp, they can fine him $50,000 a day. That becomes a little more serious if you play that out for an entire training camp. And if he sits out games, then the Packers know, hey, this guy's serious. Maybe we do need to trade him. But if he decides to come back, right, if he decides I'm not going to hang my teammates out to dry, all this stuff I said about I like the coaching staff, I like my teammates, I have to back that up or else people are going to know that the stuff I said on SportsCenter on Monday was just to get the fans on my side, then the Packers' leverage becomes stronger at that point. He shows up and he plays. But until we see how serious he is about missing mandatory work, missing work days that are going to result in a serious financial impact on him, then there's no reason for the Packers to move, and that's where we are. We're in a stalemate.
We've seen a lot of holdouts over the course of time, Ryan. I can only really think of one where it resulted Carson Palmer in a guy being willing to say, I'm retiring, I'm not coming back. I mean, knowing Aaron Rodgers the little bit that we do, what is your sense if the Packers really do decide to call this bluff, if indeed it is a bluff, what's your sense of what he does?
My sense is that Aaron Rodgers sits out. When you look at his actions, when you look at his demeanor, when you see the fact that this isn't necessarily stressing Aaron Rodgers, this seems like Aaron Rodgers has made a decision. It's about the way he feels about this organization. And if they don't fix it or trade him, then he's going to stay home. He's going to sit out a year. Quarterbacks are playing longer and longer now. And so Aaron Rodgers believes that he has 3, 4, or maybe even 5 more good years left. And if he believes that, obviously with the way he played last year, other teams will believe that. He'll have an opportunity to continue his career, to finish his career somewhere strong, and continue to build his legacy. So Aaron Rodgers will stay home, or he'll stay in Hawaii, or he'll host Jeopardy. But if the Packers call his bluff, I believe he's their Huckleberry.
Do you, Bart? Do you think he's willing to go that far?
I mean, to Ryan's point, right, this is a man of principle. This is a guy that fell in the draft and remembers everybody that was taken ahead of him. He's a guy that I believe is willing to sit out and play the long game, understanding that he didn't play 3 years at the beginning of his career. So his body should be fresh. Mm-hmm. And what's another year if he's going to get what he wants? Also, I remember the saga with Barry Sanders, and Barry Sanders decided not to play because he was just done. And then so much more that he loved himself more than he loved the game, he walked away because he refused to play for the Lions. Carson Palmer did the same thing. What a shame it would be if Aaron Rodgers walks away from the game and the Green Bay Packers get nothing as far as compensation for it, when they could get multiple ones and multiple players if that's what they decided to do. At some point, they got to say, hey, it ain't going to work. Let's see if we can get the best compensation that we can get. Now, that may take a season, or it may take, you know, cooler heads prevailing and coming together and say, listen, it ain't going to happen. You can't change my mind. I don't care how many times you guys want to fly out and see me. It's a wrap. You know, see you later.
Graziano, put a quick ribbon on it. Go.
Yeah, look, I mean, the Palmer and Barry Sanders situations were players that felt like they weren't in a position where the team was doing everything it could. Aaron Rodgers is on a team that goes to the NFC Championship game every single year. If he's willing to sit out because of a personal beef he has with the GM, that's fairly unprecedented. If he doesn't want to win a Super Bowl in Green Bay because he can't stand the idea of Brian Gutekunst getting credit for it, that's a whole different level of petty, and it rises to a level that we haven't seen with those other guys. So if that's going to happen, that has a chance to be somewhat historic.
The plot thickens.
Well, discount double check that, Dan.
We will keep a close eye and ear on that. Meanwhile, we'll take a short break, but we have so much more to do in this hour. Coming up, will this be the year Josh Allen and the Bills Mafia overthrow Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs Kingdom? Bart Scott can't wait to tell you the answer. Plus, the quarterback competition has started in New England. Would adding Julio Jones be better for Mac Jones or Cam Newton? Those are the questions. We've got the answer. Next, get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Call the non-believers.
How did that?
Call the non-believers. Good football team. They can't stop a nosebleed.
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait. No, I can't wait.
The words that made him a legend. It is time for Can't Wait with Bart Scott, and we do division by division. Let's do 3 notable things you can't wait to see in the AFC East this season, beginning in Buffalo. Bart, go.
Oh, absolutely, Greeny. Last year, Josh Allen did his job. He was an MVP candidate for the rest for the most of the year, but his defense let him down. And what did the Buffalo Bills do? They go out and they draft 2 elite pass rushers to go with Ed Oliver and Jerry Hughes. We'll see if they have taken a step or have the Baltimore Ravens or the Cleveland Browns pass them this offseason. I can't wait to see it, Greeny.
Hashtag Bills Mafia. Bart, next, Tua and Miami. What can't you wait to see?
First of all, I can't wait to see if Tua's learned his playbook, if he's learned all the nuance, if he understands the checks. Because, listen, the Miami Dolphins has had a tremendous offseason. And if he can't understand what happens when his safety inverts into the box, then they're going to be in trouble. He's going to find himself on a short list to get the Greyhound ticket because the Deshaun Watson trade will be revisited.
And then New England and the quarterbacks, Bart, what can't we wait to see?
Oh, yeah, man. This is man bod versus dad bod. Cam Newton, can he hold the young rookie off? This is a user-friendly offense. You know, understand that this is going to be built on the run, and all those guys that opted out last year is going to be back. Can Cam Newton revitalize his career? We made a lot of excuses for him because of COVID. Now this time he has no excuses, or will he be beat out by the young, accurate quarterback?
Okay, that really is an interesting one. I want you to hear what Bill Belichick said yesterday as they begin to dive into that quarterback battle in New England. Here's what the coach said yesterday.
He has a swag to him that I didn't know that he had at first. You know, he's out there confident, and that's what you need in a quarterback. Good energy, awesome guy, man, comes to work. You know, you just could feel his energy and his leadership already.
Mac dove into the playbook and continues to do that, and you know, like everybody out there, you know, we all have a lot of things we got to work on, and that includes everybody. And so that's what he's doing. That's what everybody's doing.
So obviously, that was Kendrick Bourne and then Bill Belichick, whose enthusiasm is at midseason form. So Bart, let me come back to you since you sort of began this part of the conversation. In your mind, if the Patriots are going to do something this year, if they're going to go deep in the playoffs, if they're going to be a legit contender, do you think their better chance of doing it is if it winds up being Cam or winds up being Mac?
It all depends on what Cam shows up. If it's the one that's skipping footballs like skipping rocks and being inaccurate, then of course it's not going to work. But if Cam Newton is able to continue to have a little bit more tread on the tires, you know, be the 11th man in the run game on some of these powers, but also utilize his arm and his accuracy downfield, because they're going to have 2 of everything, Green. They have probably the best offensive line in the game, 2 tight ends, and guys that can take the top off the defense. That should mean that Cam's going to play against, you know, predictable coverages, and he has to be able to be the difference. If not, Mac Jones is going to get in if Bill Belichick starts to see the season slip away, because this is a user-friendly offense, much like they had when they leaned on the defense when Tom Brady was a young quarterback.
Yeah, that's the point. I mean, clearly, Mac Jones is the future in New England. They drafted him in the first round. But, RC, do you believe their best chance of winning something of consequence this year is if Cam does do that?
Absolutely. If Mac Jones is the quarterback, and even if Mac Jones is good, if Mac Jones is as best as he could be as a rookie, this team doesn't win a Super Bowl. This team doesn't compete for an AFC championship. But if you find old Cam, if you find early season 2018 Cam Newton before the shoulder injury against the Pittsburgh Steelers, if he can be accurate, if he can, like Bart said, be the 11th man in that run game, this team could be really good. Defensively, they're going to be back. You get opt-outs. You have some new signees. You got the Judons. You have the Mills. And so you have guys you've added for veteran leadership and playmaking, and obviously the different changes offensively. If Cam Newton can find some of that accuracy, if we can get some of that Seattle Seahawks primetime game Cam Newton, this team could be really good and maybe even challenge the Buffalo Bills in the AFC East.
By the way, am I the only one, Cindy? I don't know if we can roll that video of Mac Jones in camp again. He's wearing number 50. Is that Ninko's number? Dan Graziano, is he wearing Rob Ninko's
yes,
number?
Yes, that is Ninko's number.
Maybe Ninko's number.
Ninko never
overlook this, right? He's wearing 50. He's got the other quarterbacks wearing 1, 4, and 5. They're veterans. This is a Belichick thing with rookies. He makes them wear a weird-looking number to announce to the rest of the team that he's got to earn his spot. He's got to earn that single-digit quarterback number if he really wants to be on his team. So just because he's the first-round pick doesn't mean Mac Jones didn't pick number 50 to wear in OTAs. That was given to him, and there's a reason for it. So that tells you a lot, Greeny, right? I mean, Bill Belichick, they like Cam Newton. Cam Newton is probably right now the favorite to win the job. If Mac Jones comes quickly and advances and he's accurate and Cam Newton's not, yes, he could start the season as the starter. But right now, Belichick put that 50 on him, so everybody knows he's got a ways to go. Yeah.
Bart, I love that.
I wonder what the number was. I wonder what the number was when Ninko was actually there. What number was it? You can always tell what they think about you by the number that they give you in camp. You got a 45, eyes open 57. You know that you got 1 foot on a banana peel, the other one out the door. So I kept mine as a reminder of what the Baltimore Ravens thought of me.
What do you think, RC? What quick final thought?
Well, listen, I wore number 39 when I got in, and I was about 180 pounds, so it really looked like 3,993, but I kept it when I made the team. I love that the New England Patriots do this because it is an earn it type feel. And if you're a rookie, when you finally do get your game day number, you know that you had to earn it. You know that you had to put the work in. And I actually tweeted last night to Ninko, Teddy Bruschi, and Damian Woody. I said, what's up with the New England Patriots and these ugly rookie numbers? Because N'Keal Harry was the same way when he came in. Woody say he doesn't even know. Maybe this is a new Belichick thing, but when you got 6 rings, you can do whatever the heck you want.
He's wearing Rob Ninkovich's old uniform. He's making it look pretty good. We'll have to check in with Ninko next time he's here. Meanwhile, we'll take a short break coming
up. Same body
type. He's the type of player that could shift the power in a division, maybe even in a conference, on the road to a Super Bowl. Who needs to trade for Julio right now? We'll answer that question next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We're back on Get Up. Let's run the floor through 3 NBA playoff games. Last night, home court did not help Miami. Giannis and the Bucks just rolling through the defending Eastern Conference champs, 113-84, so back-to-back blowouts. Giannis had 17 and 17, and the Bucks are a game away from advancing to the next round. Elsewhere, Nikola Jokic had 36 points, 11 boards. Denver beat Portland by 5. Dame Lillard had 37, but not enough, so Denver takes a 2-1 series lead and reclaims home court advantage. Speaking of which, Game 3, Suns-Lakers. Lakers' first true home court playoff game since 2013. LeBron and AD pulled away in the third quarter and won it 109-95. Those two combining for 28 in the third. their most points in any quarter since becoming teammates, including the postseason. And let's pick up the conversation there with the big fella, Kendrick Perkins. Let me ask you this. LeBron and AD, as they look like that, when they play like that, what is this Lakers team?
Oh, the best team in the NBA. And Greeny, look, I watch a lot of the get up, right? And I'm starting to be familiar with a lot of football terms, okay? And last night when you watched the game, guess what? The Lakers won it in the trenches, okay? They got it in the trenches. They dominated the paint last night, Greeny, scoring 58 points in the paint. They shot 7-for-38 from the three. Anthony Davis and LeBron James imposed their will. Their physicality on the offensive end was at a whole nother level. I mean, just getting to their spots. You saw what he was doing, what LeBron was doing to Jay Crowder. God bless America. I feel for Jay so bad. You see LeBron James showing his emotions right there. And talk about their defensive impact. Look at Anthony Davis. This is why he should win Defensive Player of the Year almost every year, because of his tenacity and the way that he's able to cover the floor. The Lakers get into you physically. Their guards are not afraid of embarrassment. They have great rim protection in Andre Drummond and Anthony Davis. And this is why the Lakers are my pick to win the NBA championship.
That's really well said. Even in a league where everybody is shooting threes, you can still win basketball games by winning the line of scrimmage, and that is what the Lakers look like they're trying to do. All right, you were right also ahead of this thing on Milwaukee. I will admit, I thought Miami was going to upset the Milwaukee Bucks in this round. You told me the Bucks are going to the finals, and boy, do you look right and I look wrong right now. Does this Milwaukee team right now look like an Eastern Conference champ?
They do, Granny, and I got them picked to come out of the East. Look, the additions that they added this season with Jrue Holiday, Bobby Portis, P.J. Tucker, they're not any right. They have shooting. They have rim protection. They have guys that live threats at the basket. Chris Middleton, Jrue Holiday, both can create on their own. Both are clutch down the stretch. Can pull up from everywhere, from deep, from three. And then you have big Brook Lopez that's down there protecting the paint. Look, everything about this Milwaukee Bucks tells me that they're going to the finals. They have great depth. They have great coaching. Mike Budenholzer is really in his bag. And they're playing with a chip on their shoulder right now, Greeny. And it's a beautiful thing to watch.
We will see. They will probably get Brooklyn in the next round. That should be a fascinating clash. Meanwhile, we have three great games tonight, Big Perk, between ESPN and ABC. So I'm going to give you some over-under predictions for the games involving some of the stars. Let's start in Atlanta. Trae Young, the over-under for him, 26.5 points tonight against New York. Which way do you think?
I'm going with the over, Greeny. Look, you heard what Trae Young said after game two. I see you in the eighth. He averaged 30 in the garden. What you think he's going to do when he get home? This guy is a walking bucket, okay? A four-level scorer. No one on the Knicks could stop him. He is in his bag right now. I'm taking the over.
I'm with that. All right, that's the early game on ESPN. The late one is Clippers-Mavs. Luka, over under 29.5. What do you think?
I'm going with the over. First of all, tell me who's going to stop Luka, okay? No one on the Clippers. Yes, they can say they have three elite defenders. I haven't seen any. Okay? He is also in his bag, and he's talking noise with it, Greeny. He is very comfortable against this Clipper team, and at home, he's going to give them that work.
And then finally on ABC tonight, Celtics-Nets, Kyrie, 23.5, over-under. What do you think?
Greeny, he is going to light Kemba Walker and the Celtics up in the garden tonight. Look, I want to give you a reminder. Kyrie Irving had two 40-plus games against the Boston Celtics in the regular season. He owns them. 23 points, he gets that in his sleep.
Kendrick Perkins, you are the best. Enjoy the games this weekend. It is always a pleasure to have you here on The Get Up, and we will see you on Monday for sure. We have all three games coming your way tonight. Again, as I mentioned, we start in the ATL. We got Knicks Hawks 7 Eastern. We got the ABC game is Nets and Celtics. That's at 8:30 Eastern. And then cap the night with Clippers Mavs 9:30 Eastern. All the action coming your way tonight. The game three is in the playoffs. Okay, back to the NFL, and that's Julio Jones. His future landing spot still very much up in the air as we approach the June 1st salary cap deadline. Julio and the Falcons have made no secret of their intentions, and teams are starting to line up to trade for the star wide receiver. So here's what I want to do with our football crew today. Let me just, you give me the team that needs to add Julio Jones. This is the team that, in your mind, gets Julio Jones, puts them over the top, the place that makes the most sense to you. Dan Graziano, I'm starting with you.
I like the 49ers. I'm not sure how they make it happen if there's a first-round pick on the table because the Niners traded all of theirs to get Trey Lance. But if they can make it happen, I think reuniting Julio Jones with Kyle Shanahan really makes that offense pretty unstoppable, especially if you're talking about breaking in a rookie quarterback and Trey Lance. I think it makes a lot of sense for a guy like that. Seems like the Niners have to take a shot here and try and get back to the Super Bowl quickly. This would be a move that would definitely, definitely help.
That's an intriguing possibility. How about you, Bart Scott? Where should Julio wind up?
Man, I don't want to call myself a homer, but you know the Baltimore Ravens. Think about the organization, right? Bringing in Anquan Boldin, bringing in Steve Smith. They're used to bringing in, wide receivers late in their career to try and win a chip. Anquan Boldin won one. Ozzie Newsome is a Alabama alum. It makes their offense elite. Lamar Jackson. It pushes Hollywood Brown into the slot, and it gives you some surplus with Sammy Watkins and also with the draft pick Bateman. So I think Julio definitely should go there. I think that's the place he can go where he can win a championship.
I like it. Ryan Clark, how about you?
You know what? I hate to agree with Bart Scott, whether it's because he's a Baltimore Raven or a New York Jet, but he's absolutely correct. Julio Jones should want to be a Baltimore Ravens, but the Baltimore Ravens should want Julio Jones even more. He's not just a good player. He's not just a great player. He's an elite level transcendent talent at the wide receiver position, and just the attention that he will gain will allow Lamar Jackson to be better, whether it's getting one-on-ones with Hollywood Brown, with his new rookie wide receiver from Minnesota, Bateman, or if it's the run game being able to exploit softer boxes. Julio Jones would be a huge get for the Baltimore Ravens and the type of get that gets you a Super Bowl if you're that organization.
I want to make sure I'm understanding the thinking here, because we've talked so much about allowing Lamar Jackson to continue to do the things that has made him so effective. Bart Scott, are you talking about the Ravens shifting their offensive philosophy with Sammy Watkins and some of these other guys and now adding Julio to something that looks more like a traditional offense with Lamar at quarterback?
No, not at all, Greeny. See, understand, the same runs you can do out of big personnels, you can do out of small personnels. You just make the players interchangeable with the wide receivers. It doesn't matter. Still, you can still run the same power plays because the opposing defense has to adjust. So Julio Jones can still dominate a cornerback, a nickelback, or a smaller defensive back. It's still the same advantage which allows you to get the running back or Lamar Jackson on the edge, and it makes you have to defend them 11 on 11. And meanwhile, you can't drop, two safeties in the box, guys that can play in space with Lamar Jackson, because now you need those guys deep and back so you can make sure that you can exploit the one-on-ones, because you can't leave those guys one-on-one by themselves without safety help.
So, RC, I think conventional wisdom is Kansas City is the class of the AFC. Buffalo is on the come. Cleveland is on the come. If Baltimore adds Julio Jones, are the Ravens the biggest threat to Kansas City in the AFC?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, it's the caveat. Julio Jones has to actually play. He has to be healthy. And if he is, this to me is the number one contender in the AFC now. Because you asked Bart about the offense changing. No, the offense doesn't have to change. But here's the issue and what it's been with the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson had to get better because space wasn't created outside, or 50-50 footballs couldn't be won. You can be a bad quarterback with Julio Jones. You can throw a football that other wide receivers might catch. You can throw it into coverage. You can give him opportunities to go up and big boy people. They've never had that in Baltimore. And when you're trying to stop that, you leave space for Lamar Jackson inside the numbers, inside the hashes where he thrives. Just simply what he adds by being on the field helps Lamar Jackson be a better quarterback.
Taking any allegiance you may have out of it, I would be fascinated to see it. I can't imagine a circumstance that could be more interesting than that one being added in Baltimore. Speaking of interesting circumstances, coming up, some question if Tim Tebow could be an effective tight end. Could he be just an offensive weapon? That's the question. We'll answer it next. Get up on ESPN.
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
24 minutes in, and we are proving to be the most immature show.
I'm ready to see where this is going, Greeny.
This whole thing is just a bunch of nonsense.
I'm about to break out some props.
I don't need this.
I got a lot of Bill Murray pictures. That's a little weird.
Come on, man.
Mike Tannenbaum has a football with his own name on it.
I'm good over here.
I didn't know this was show and tell.
Here's my Hulk.
I'm good.
What y'all talking about?
I have skills too. It's not just Marcus.
It's a swaggoo.
The NFC East is completely unpredictable.
Who is the best team in that division?
I don't know.
The Giants and the Washington football team are better than the Dallas Cowboys.
You're probably right, Dan Borlasky.
Dan McCluskey. Volusky, final word.
I hate both of you. All three of you.
Chill out, Borlasky.
There's Aaron Rodgers posting all of these incredibly glamorous photos in Hawaii.
He's getting married to a beautiful actress. I'm married to someone average. I don't post a lot about him.
The last thing in the world we want to do is pry couples apart on this program.
I need to really stop killing my husband on television.
We're all about bringing people together. Still kind of hard to get over, right? I mean, that's a tough one to come back from, right, Ryan Clark? I didn't get your take on this in our first hour.
Yeah,
it's a tough one.
Man, listen, that's one you got to run by me first. You got to let me know, hey, babe, I'm going to tell this joke. This joke is going to involve you. I do not mean it. I don't post you because I'm too busy breaking news. I don't necessarily know if I'm going to do that. So to my wife, I'll post you whenever the hell I have to, babe, because you deserve it.
Okay, yeah, that whole thing was just questionable. Funny, but questionable. Meantime, speaking of questionable, Tim Tebow is a Jacksonville Jaguar. People seem to have a very difficult time grasping that. The former quarterback turned outfielder turned tight end has been working out with the team. You see him there. The number one overall draft pick is on that team. That's Trevor Lawrence. He was asked his early impressions of Tebow in camp. Here's what he said.
He looks great. You can tell he's just a guy that you want to be around. Character is awesome. Just had a few conversations with him, and I can already tell. And then just a hard worker. You know, no one's going to work harder than him. And those are the kind of guys you want in your locker room that you want to be around every day. So, and then I'm excited to see what he does on the field as well.
All right, so Bart Scott, here's a your face is funny. Here's the you have resting angry face right now. Here's my question. They're saying now that all of a sudden that forget about this tight end business, that he could play like a Taysom Hill kind of role, like a gadget play kind of role. You got the quarterback there in Trevor Lawrence, and then you would have Tim Tebow coming in and just sort of changing things up every now and again. Does that make sense to you, Bart?
It does not. We tried that, right? We tried that with New York, right? And it didn't work. And it just threw the rhythm off of Mark Sanchez. And Mark Sanchez was the worst quarterback because of it. And whenever Mark struggled, they would start going with the Tebow chant. He would come out there until people realize that he can't play. Listen, I hate when people say, nobody's going to work harder than him. At some point, you have to have talent. And he hasn't shown the ability to have talent at quarterback, at fullback, at special teams. Since he's been in the league, has he had some moments? Yes, he's had some moments, but the league has passed him by. But Trevor Lawrence is going to have to answer these questions because it's like an algae, man. And it just continues to spread. And Trevor Lawrence is going to get irritated. By week six, he's going to get tired of seeing him having a press conference at his locker about a 1-yard run that he did on fourth and one.
RC, why the face?
Bruh, because I'm so tired, bro. Like, everybody talks about how hard he works. A lot of dudes work really hard in the league. But you know why we never talk about it? Because those dudes are also very talented. Those dudes are also very skilled. And because they're skilled and they're talented, we don't have to talk about how hard they work, because that's not what they wear on their sleeve. That's not what they walk into the stadium holding the sign saying, hey guys, I'm not very talented or skilled, but I work extremely hard. Yeah, he works hard, but a lot of people work hard. I trained at the exact same place that he trained. I did the exact same things. It just wasn't talked about all the time because I wasn't Tim Tebow. James Harrison trains at the exact same place. And so all those things don't necessarily matter. Here's my problem with the Taysom Hill thing. We have now reached a new age of football, right? We have Urban Meyer, who's coming from the college game. We have Trevor Lawrence, who in college was a very good zone read, zone option quarterback. If you put Tim Tebow into the game in the Taysom Hill role, you have now gotten less athletic at the quarterback position. I'm gonna say it again. If you replace Trevor Lawrence with Tim Tebow, you have now gotten less athletic. Now, if you just want to do it for 4th-and-1 to make him a fullback, that makes sense. Trevor Lawrence is faster. Trevor Lawrence is more elusive. Trevor Lawrence is a better thrower of the football. Trevor Lawrence is your Taysom Hill with more skill. So that's not a thing. Urban Meyer, don't do it just to give him a roster spot. You don't have 85 scholarships. The spots are limited.
And Dan, before I come to you, I just want to show everyone, you know, there's an expression, a picture is worth 1,000 words. When I brought this topic up yesterday, I just want you to see what Damian Woody's face looked like. This was the face that D. Wood made when we were talking about this yesterday, and I think it perfectly encaptures.
Yeah.
That is the face,
yeah,
that people make when we bring up the Tim Tebow topic. That's how D. Wood pictures this entire thing. Dan Graziano, the people that you hear from around the league, what are they saying?
Well, see, that's the thing, right? Like, speculation that he could do a Taysom Hill thing is because none of this makes any sense to anybody. So people are trying to figure out, like, how do I make it make sense? Could he be a Taysom Hill? He can't be Taysom. Taysom Hill ran a 4.44 40-yard dash at his pro day. Tebow ran a 4.7 at the combine 11 years ago. Like, it's not a comparable thing. You talk about nobody's going to work harder than him. It reminds me of the old Tommy Lasorda line when they asked him about a player, is he trying hard? And Lasorda said, I can get a dog to try. Look, I mean, at some point, we're going to see it, right?
That's like, harsh.
Either he's going to play in a preseason game or whatever. But, I mean, whatever role Urban Meyer has in mind for him, I think is a ways off, because we don't know if he can even do the thing they signed him to do.
Okay, let's leave that there for the moment. They were obviously.
So ticket sales are up, and that's what they signed him to do.
Let me go back to the beginning of the week. Hold that thought, guys, because I want to go back to this, because, you know, this has been a crazy week. And remember that early in this week, this happened.
Hey, just last thing. Last time we did the interview together, you told me to go heavy in the cryptocurrency game. I did. We're down 40%. Then I lost my job. Gretchen just wants a new comforter. F*** you, Aaron Rodgers.
I love you, Ken.
Yes, so, indeed.
Let's just start with that. Before we bottom line Legend. The meaning of it, is that RC? I mean, we've been here a long time. Have you ever? Is there anyone else in the world besides Kenny who could have done that?
Nope. There's no one else who could have done it. There's no one else who could have done it that way. And there's also no one else we would have accepted it from. I think that was the best part to me. He texted me when it all happened, and I was sad because we developed a friendship, and we text on the side, and we talk about things. And when he did that, I smiled. I smiled because I knew no one in the building, I knew no one at Disney had an issue with it, because that was the most Kenny Mayne way to leave it, and I loved it.
Fair enough. And it also sets up what we wanted to do to finish up the week here, which is let's do some bottom lines. We got big football stories out there, and I want you each to bottom line one of the big ones for us. So we start with that, with Aaron Rodgers. That's how his week started, and then it turned into a whole lot of really glamorous pictures in Hawaii. So, RC, what's the bottom line right now to you on the Rodgers situation?
Aaron Rodgers is winning. Aaron Rodgers is winning at life. He's in Hawaii with his actress girlfriend, who is actually probably the third most popular person he's dated since he's been in the league. And not only is he in Hawaii, the wide receivers decided that since he's in Hawaii, they are not going to practice. The Green Bay Packers are going to have to put up, shut up, or call his bluff. And Aaron Rodgers is winning in so many ways in life right now.
Fair enough. Okay, that's one big story. Julio Jones is another. The possibility of his being traded as soon as early next week. Dan Graziano, what's the bottom line on Julio?
Bottom line is Wednesday is the day to watch. It has to happen after June 1st or else it will crush the Falcons on this year's salary cap. June 2nd is Wednesday. And yes, it is possible Julio Jones could get traded that soon. The Falcons need to clear cap room so they can sign their draft picks. Julio Jones could be on his way out of Atlanta sooner rather than later.
Okay, and then finishing it up with the story we've spent some time on today. Tim Tebow working out with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and Urban Meyer saying he's one of 90, which is just obviously not a term you could ever apply. So, Bart, Scott, what is your bottom line on Tebow?
Listen, the bottom line is mission accomplished. He called it Buddy. He gave him a shot. You know, they sold some jerseys. They're going to sell some tickets. He's going to get an opportunity to try and live out another dream. And at the end of the day, he's going to get the pink slip like most of the guys that's in that locker room right now. He's going to get the Greyhound, and he'll find something else to do. He'll be hosting American Idol or something after that when he decides he wants to be a country western singer.
So he's not going to be on the roster. Week one, he's not on the roster, Bart?
Nah, there's no way. He can't block no damn body. You know, get okay. Trevor Lawrence talking about, I'm excited to see how hard he works. Go see how hard he works when he screamed four when that defense end coming to send him night night.
Okay, let's leave
he
that there.
He will not be in the game in preseason blocking for Trevor Lawrence.
Outstanding work, you guys. Always outstanding getting up here. And we are giving way to First Take coming up in just a few minutes here. They're 5 minutes away. Did LeBron and AD show they're still the best duo in the NBA last night? Plus, should we be talking more about the Bucks' big three? Stephen A., Max, and Molly, live. First Take is next on ESPN.